Welcome to From the Hip, ladies and gentlemen. I have been away from you a little too long, but anyway, it's your girl, Dawn Burks, entertainment reporter, GotLive.com. That's my day job. And today I have a treat for y'all. It's my girl, Cassandra Herrio.
Thank you, everyone. It's great to be on the hip, from the hip, on the hip, you know.
We're hippie. I mean, you guys just don't even know, like, they messed up and put us next to each other, our desk, and we have so much to say.
Definitely.
So y'all just get ready for it. And, you know, if you like it, we love it. We'll make it a regular thing. Mm-hmm. So we kind of made a list of what we wanted to talk about when we came in here, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have thoughts.
Definitely. And we had to save them for this recording because we start going at it when we're sitting at our desk.
We do. We start talking and then you lose it because absolutely. It feels like, okay, I've said that before. I can't see it again.
Right.
So what's on your mind?
Well, you know, lately we've been talking a lot about, and I forgot where this came out, but how women and men identify other women by the term female,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And it bristles every time, like, I hear it.
Yes.
And for a long time, I didn't even know why. And then finally, I figured out why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for you, does it bristle for you, too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I had been conditioned, I guess, as a mm-hmm. teenager to always say, like, female teacher or mm-hmm. female reporter. And now, as an adult, I just find that terminology as, you know, it puts us in a, I don't know, it kind of labels us as like other, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a woman, to me, being a woman is just so much more empowering than labeling me by the term female.
Like, right. Female seems like almost animalistic.
Exactly.
Like you're debasing me. I mean, okay, I know the critics will want to say, well, that's what you are. Well, yes, but like you pointed out, and rightly so, I think, is that women are more than that. Female mm-hmm. kind of brings it down to the sex mm-hmm. of a person mm-hmm. rather than their totality. And then the way some people spit it out, mm-hmm. like you hear, I'm going to say dudes, you hear dudes walking around and they're spitting out the word, that female over there.
Females are tripping. Yeah. They're all about drama. And
right. So, I mean, they've helped make the word a negative thing mm-hmm. and not just dudes, but other women who use it in a pejorative way. Mm-hmm. Like I hardly ever hear female used in a nice way, unless I see it written on a medical document.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
And then, and speaking of language, right?
Yeah.
Now let's get to the real pejorative.
Ooh, girl.
With this week, the Kendrick Lamar performance that was done, right?
Yeah.
And the fan who came up.
She just
was
wanted
she
to
white
rap.
Or what? Well,
I think she Latino? Was. I think, well, she wasn't him. Let's just say that. She was not him. And he invites, let's set the scene for you. He invites several fans up to try to rap one of his songs, you know, to test his fans. To number one, segue. I paid my money to see you perform. I did not pay my money for you to ask me to recite your words back to you. You wrote them, you say them.
Right.
But okay, I'm away from that now. Back to the subject. So he asked them to rap one of his songs. Well, she rapped it like she heard it. Mm-hmm. She used the N-word mm-hmm. with the hard R.
Oh, no.
I mean.
No, it was, I mean, honestly, it should have never been used in the first place.
Right. But that's my thought.
You had an interesting kind of like playing, not devil's advocate, but kind of a counterpoint.
Girl, sometimes I work like the devil's giving me a paycheck. And you know that.
Yes. But with that, though, I mean, like, you know, what was it about it that you felt like, well, Kendrick, if...
My first thought, my knee-jerk reaction was, yo, Kendrick, you can't call her out. She's a fan of yours. You wrote that word in the first place. If you didn't want her to say it, you shouldn't have written it in the first place, because you may have called her out on stage in front of thousands of people. But when she get back home, she gonna be saying it.
It's such a hard argument, because there are a lot of people who feel like the word is, you know, we shouldn't be using the word.
Right.
Or there's the sense of how it's been used for, you know, switching the meaning behind it and making it more empowering for those who are Black. And I feel like
power.
You know, for me, I do feel like, you know, some the argument's been made where, like, words have context, right? So like, depending on how you're saying it or who you are, that context is in the correct way.
But, and that hard R does make a difference.
Oh, it does. Ooh, like,
I know.
That makes me people can't look at me right now, but, like, I am cringing.
She really is, y'all. Both her fists are balled up. She's like, no. You can see it in her body language.
She messed up.
Well, she messed up on one hand, but on the other hand, she's not a performer. She's not used to standing in front of tens of thousands of people at a concert. And she, not that I can ascribe motive to her, because I wasn't there and I don't know her, you know, but I would think that, I know if I were in that situation, I would just take a deep breath and go, you know what? Let me just wrap it like I do it in the car. And that's what she did. And then you can call her out on it. But at some point, it's a teachable moment. You know, I know he couldn't pull up Ta-Nehisi Coates explaining why it wasn't her word. He couldn't be like, hold up a minute. Somebody bring me my phone. Let me show her this video.
Yeah.
You know, but it could have been, he could have easily just gone to the next person. You know, give me, all right, next person, you stay over there. I got to talk to you in a minute. You know, there's bound to be a set change or something.
Has he said anything in reaction to that on how he,
no,
I don't think I've seen that.
No, because he hasn't. Because he's right and wrong. Like, maybe the action of it would, like, stopping the action of it was wrong. But it really bothers me that a lot of people say we've taken this word back. We've made it our own. You don't see me walking around, Doug, you got a beep button back there. I mean, but you don't see me walking around trying to reclaim hoe. I'm not trying to reclaim that. And I know they're two different things. I know that. Because the N-word was used so jarringly and to such effect to disenfranchise an entire set of people. And I understand that I can't find an equivalency for just a woman. I can find an equivalency for another ethnic group. You know, I can find those. But for some reason, the N-word has been used to even talk about those other ethnic groups. Let me tell you a story about girl, you know how I get started. Yeah. let me tell you a story. One time, me and my significant other at the time, we were at a concert for this rap act. And it was like Dilated Peoples and David Banner. If you don't know David Banner, please go find David Banner. He's so awesome. But I talked to him for like 3 hours after that show. God, I'm digressing again. But I heard the N-word just slung around. And after about the fifth time I heard it used, this is while I'm outside the venue. It was a House of Blues. About the fifth time it's used, I'm thinking, wait a minute, because I ignored it, right? Because it's the first thing you do as a brown person when you hear pejorative comments is you try to ignore them, right?
Right, like, oh, because you don't want just said,
right, because you don't want a confrontation. Because, of course, if you're the one that starts the confrontation, it's going to be your fault. Anything that jumps off is going to be your fault. People don't understand the state of anxiety that we live in. And so, but the fifth time, I couldn't take it no more. And I turned around ready to square up, and it was a bunch of non-brown people talking to each other.
Oh, my God.
Girl! And that let me know that a different generation looks at it a different way.
Yes, I do think so. I mean, in college, you know.
Yeah. What up, man?
Yes, exactly. You know, it's like.
But those are people who have never had it hurled at them as an epithet.
Yes.
That's the thing. And that's what I think came to bear here with this young lady. She has never had that word hurled at her, used in that manner. So she doesn't understand the significance of it, the history of it, and how it makes someone feel.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
You know, lesser than. Mm-hmm. But it was still, my knee-jerk reaction was, if you don't want her to say it, don't do it. Don't do it.
I know.
Pulitzer Kenny.
Pulitzer Kenny. Yes, no,
girl,
she could have avoided it.
But see, here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. There are things that we as women of color that we know how to avoid.
Right. Oh yeah.
You know that we know the landmines. This girl lives in a world.
Very excellent point.
Right. That's made for her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have to.
And it's the one landmine.
It's the one landmine. She got one landmine. She had one job.
Just one.
But I mean, think about Barbecue Becky, right?
Oh, my God, Barbecue Becky.
And how she weaponized her tears.
Yeah.
I mean, I know most people wouldn't see a correlation here, but I mean, it's the same kind of thing. They think they can, sometimes, Lord, I said they think, forgive me, I cannot throw a blanket over an entire group of people. But a lot of people that are of the majority think that they can get away with, and get away is even the wrong word, because in their eyes, they're just right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I am is Barbecue Becky
the
wife of the man barbecuing or the one who called the cops?
She's the one that called the cops. They dubbed her Barbecue Becky.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I saw an article. And the wife of the man they're calling, that the wife of the man who did the video, they're calling her the Barbecue Becky Slayer.
Oh, I see.
They're calling her Buffy the Barbecue Becky Slayer. Mm-hmm. Is what's going on.
Well, I feel like here's a woman who used her privilege, right?
Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, she's obviously seeing someone who she loves be treated, and seeing racism at play,
right.
Bias at play, and how she reacted to that, I think, is something that, you know, other white allies can learn from, you know what I mean? Like when minorities, or actually, you know, minorities is another word that I really
like,
especially since we're here in Texas.
Same.
We are not minorities anymore. So I need to correct myself in saying that. But
you know what? Is that patriarchal, that is ingrained in our psyche. So we use the words and we're so used to code switching.
Right.
That we just use the words.
Yeah.
But I think that, BET just announced the nominations for the BET Awards, and I was looking for the Barbecue Becky Slayer. Yes. She needs to get, like, an ally award.
Something.
You know? I'm like, come on now. Give an award that matters.
2018 award for greatest ally.
Exactly. I mean, maybe if we start rewarding this ish, people will do more of it.
Right. Which it's a shame, though.
It
honestly
really is that you have. It feels like you're begging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at us.
But here's one for the woman who took out the phone
and just press play.
Exactly.
And press record.
Press play and then pressed on her questions, right?
Yeah.
Like really making.
And she would not let it go. Mm-hmm. And then I love the response of people who lived in Oakland, how they came out and had the biggest barbecue and did the electric slide and did they probably did the wobble.
You know, it's funny how
at the same park,
the Black community and Latino community in New York City with that lawyer, right?
Yes.
We went out and brought the mariachi.
Yes, you did.
My people, this is how we respond to racism.
And we have to respond that way now because crying hasn't helped.
No, it doesn't. No.
So we have to laugh so that we don't cry anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm still frustrated.
Mm-hmm. No, I think this topic of bias and how we're seeing it play out, mm-hmm. whether it's you're speaking another language at a restaurant or, you know, you're at a barbecue, you're doing a barbecue on a nice weekend outside. Like,
you just trying to minding your own
business. Minding your own business. Right. And then someone has to come in and talk about, you know, why do you have a charcoal grill?
Putting raisins in a potato salad is one form of domestic terrorism, but she took it to another level. It's like, come on, Becky. And then I get so conflicted because I want to jump on, not jump on her side, but then I want to go, but we can't call her Becky because that's bad. You know, everybody's not a Becky, but it's like, right. You know, did you ever read that, I think it was on Very Smart Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, if you haven't been to this website, you need to go live there for like a week or so. You will come out woke, right? But someone wrote this list of like the seven toxic Beckys, the seven types of Beckys, and it's glorious.
I missed this.
Yes, I'm going to have to find it and send it to you. But when they were put in the subsets like that, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that some alt-right website has, a seven different types of Shaquandas,
Lord.
Or, you know, I'm sure this, all of this is somewhere. But just keep it in the people. But sometimes I want to feel sorry for that woman. I can't. I'm trying. And I'm normally pretty good about that, finding, being able to look at something from all sides.
Mm-hmm. I hope, if anything, she at least learns to mind her business.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Mind your business. Number one, why does she have any place else to go? She didn't have nothing else to do but to sit there on the phone waiting for somebody.
And she was waiting for a long time.
She waited a long time. And it wasn't, the weather was great, right?
And to call the cops on something that is not an immediate danger to you.
That's a disservice.
That's the biggest.
Yes, that's what bothers me. All of this dial 911 because you see people enjoying themselves.
Right.
That's beyond the pale to me. I think Trevor Noah said it on his Facebook Watch series. It's called Between the Scenes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, he thinks a good fix for this is if the cops come. And they find out that it's not an emergency, you could fined $1,000.
Yes.
She said they would think about it before they dial 911. I mean, there's so, like the other day we were talking and I said, did you hear about the actresses that got arrested in Atlanta? No, you asked me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, which one?
Right.
Because it's so many.
Right.
I mean, people are moving into their houses and the police mm-hmm. getting called. This man was inspecting a house, and the woman next door calls the police and terrorizes him as she's calling, so much so that the police stay there with him for his protection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that could have been another outcome. I mean, in my community, I know that I don't call the police for everything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, because I've seen what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'm afraid of what can happen. So I'm not quick to dial 911. So I think this is even deeper than people doing the privilege. I think this is using their privilege in the wrong way.
Right.
I think this is also indicative of the fact that I care what happens
mm-hmm.
to a person of color when the cops come. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care about how it can go left.
Mm-hmm.
Or wrong, period. I said wrong, didn't I? Girl, my Georgia all out. I got fired up.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. What you got? Say something to me.
Well, I mean, let's bring it back to Dallas now.
Yeah, let's do. Because I was, girl, see, this is why Cassandra is here with me. Because we have a hive mind.
We do.
We really do. Because I was just going to say, even the royal wedding was tainted,
right,
by people just not knowing when to keep your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, you know, That German company, did you see the German candy company that had like a chocolate covered marshmallow dressed up in royal finery? Mm. And it was like, hey, wouldn't you want to be Meghan Markle too? Oh, that kind of, and they didn't even get it. Their apology was even tone deaf. Lord. And then the fact that her now husband had to put out a statement when they were dating telling people to stop being racist and sexist. And then there was some commentator when I was watching the royal wedding who he was British and he was on the CNN feed. And he said, I don't think the gospel choir had any place there.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't fitting for the chapel. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Right.
Last time I looked, God was everywhere.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. And that was. It was very thinly veiled racism.
It was.
You know, it just, but back home, Cassandra did this wonderful piece. Oh. Bravo, bravo, bravo. I don't want the grammar police coming to get me.
And you know what? I mean, like, it's crazy that it came during this week.
Yes,
it was not planned. I wish I could say, like, we really thought. Oh,
don't admit that.
Okay, I'll say yes, definitely we.
Too late now. But she did this wonderful piece about interracial relationships. And we had it was serendipitous that it came out this week because right. It's been a turnaround for a long time, right?
It has. You know, it's been something that it took several months to really get couples who were comfortable and talking openly about their experiences and challenges. And you know, this isn't in the story, but even one couple, Charlottesville happened.
Yeah.
And it was a black woman and a white husband. They had a baby that was about 2 months old or a few months mm-hmm. old. And you know, I think with Charlottesville happening and they decided to pull out of the project, that they didn't want to be in the project. Aww. And so to me that was just like, wow, like
It's
2018 and people are scared to talk about their love because of the way, you know, they happen to look on the outside.
Right.
You know what I mean? And right. So that was reporting this process. And, you know, for like our listeners that they see the stories and kind of curious on what went into it, that I thought that was something that I wish. You know, when people usually ask, what would you leave out that you didn't put in? That's something right. that I think, you know, if you're listening and you've seen that story, it's sad that some couples feel like it was a threat to them.
Right.
A danger to them, I should say.
Well, I had friends who declined to participate.
And my goodness. Yeah, exactly.
Remember?
Yeah, you had friends that declined to participate. And so it's like, it's crazy to me that, you know, like where we are now and people are still scared. Are nervous mm-hmm. about it. And then another part too is like the Dallas history of as recent as 1975, and this is just from, you know, archives that I was able to pull, that we had judges who still would not marry black mm-hmm. and non-black couples. You know what I mean?
And that wasn't too long after integration actually happened.
Oh my God. Like what?
Yeah, it's amazing to think that some of this stuff only happened 40 years ago.
Exactly. 40 years ago, Dawn.
Yeah.
Like,
and it floors you.
It does. It absolutely does. And not only did this one judge refuse this, he was a black professor wanting to mm-hmm. marry his Jewish fiance, but you know, other judges came behind him and said that we support his decision. And, you know, the racist old tale is that, well, interracial marriages just don't last. It's like
marriages, a tale as old as time.
A tale as old. I mean, you know, marriage is hard already. It doesn't matter if y'all are this, you know.
It doesn't matter if you grew up next door to each other.
Right. And even if you did grow up right next door to each other, you know, there's also that chance that it's not going to work out. So, you know, I'm really happy that project came out, and it came at a time where, you know, we're seeing royalty literally change.
In front of in our eyes. Right. I mean, all these thousand years of tradition, and it's just like, poof. Right. And I know the naysayers will say, well, it was just a wedding. And it's
no,
like,
so much
it was
more.
So much more than that mm-hmm. because it made Black Britons feel wanted mm-hmm. and welcomed, if only for that little bit of time.
Right.
And who knows, there's some little girl who exactly. saw that
right.
and thought, I can be anything I want to be now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of like how I felt when, or, well, no, I didn't feel that way.
But you know what we mean.
Right. You know, they know what we mean. I mean, I feel that way when I see excellence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I look for excellence. And a lot of times it's not reported and it's not covered. And you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And girl, I am proud of you. Y'all, it's the first time I told her that.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. And I mean, we want to keep this going, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a Facebook page
yeah.
for people who want to talk about race and identity in this city,
right.
too. So what was another?
It's Questions of Color, right?
Right. Questions of Color on Facebook. Try to mm-hmm. find us. You can, you know, fill out the questionnaire. We always have to vet everyone because we've had a few trolls try to
yep.
make their way in there. But after that story published, people came and found our group. Mm-hmm. And it was then interracial couples who wanted to continue the conversation, right? They saw
right.
the story. And I'm telling you, it was like more than 30 people that we had come into the Facebook group, which we've kept it. I mean, it's relatively small. I think it's still hard for people to talk about race. But
yeah.
I've been really impressed by how this story resonated with readers, and you know,
and that's what we want to do. We want to engage readers. We want you to talk to us.
Yes,
you know, we might even one day, you know, get a phone line in here and
yeah,
you
give
me a holler.
Wouldn't
that be great?
Yes.
Just to talk about our stories. We have so many stories to offer that, and we have so much more to say.
Mm-hmm.
We're limited by how much we can write,
mm-hmm.
but we can talk until the day ends if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Especially me and you.
We should. I know. You and I can. Sometimes we have to, you know, be like, okay, we got deadlines.
Okay,
we
got to work. We
yeah,
gotta
exactly work. But I think that's a great idea to keep in mind. You know,
I think so.
If you're listening and it's something that, you know, you want to chime in, send us an email.
Yeah, and let us know what you think about things and stories that you know of that
right.
maybe we can shine a light on and write
right.
about, or at least investigate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because listening to us, you know, we care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live in this world too, and we walk the same path
oh, yeah.
that a lot of you walk.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to do it in this place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're journalists, but we're also readers, and we're also consumers of entertainment. Cause I'm getting ready to watch the whole season of Black Lightning again, because it's good, y'all. I'm here to tell you it's good. I mean, the royal wedding, I didn't mean to watch it. I did not. I happened to wake up just in time and I found a stream on YouTube that had no commentary.
That's probably the best way to watch it.
Yes, because girl, once I went to the commentary, mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw my TV across the room. I was mm-hmm. like, what? CNN? What's going on?
And to be honest, during the commentary, at least not on NBC, like I did not see Black journalists participating
right.
in that,
right.
which, you know.
I thought Hoda was there. She's Egyptian.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, I think she was stationed somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that they were, Don Lemon was hosting part of the CNN stuff.
Okay.
And,
no, I was watching NBC and I saw,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
with the out in the field reporters that were within the
yeah.
watch parties and crowds. And
well, you know, they always got Miguel Almaguer out trying to dodge bullets and fires and stuff. I mean, I just want him, the NBC correspondent, I just want him every once in a while, I want them to send him to a beach.
Something he needs
to investigate a Mai Tai.
Right.
Because right now, I looked up the other day, he was in Hawaii. It looked like the volcano was right behind him.
I saw that. I saw his live shot there. But, you know, the commentary, I think, coming, a lot of it came from the perspective of, you know, a white woman on what she thought was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I would have really appreciated having, you know, the.
Right. CNN did have a, I want to be this when I grow up. She was a culture commentator.
Oh, wow. Why didn't they ask us?
I mean, I know. She was a culture commentator. And all she did was talk about the the black symbols that were used in the ceremonies.
Yes.
She helped to talk about them in a scholarly way so that people could just know. All I wanted her to say though was, look, Oprah didn't wear a fascinator. Oprah wore a church hat. She walked up in there.
The waist was looking so snatched. That's why I didn't even notice the hat. I noticed her. I was like, wow, Oprah. Like,
girl, speaking of, you got on that Fenty highlighter again.
Yes,
you
got, I do.
You got on that. You got on the trophy wife
trophy
again.
Trophy wife, yes. You know, when I'm having, you know, kind of a hard week, and for me, like putting on trophy, and I don't wear it every day. Like,
no, you
it's
don't.
Like a once every other week.
It's like a surprise it every is. Time you do, but it's a good surprise.
Well, thank you, Dawn.
Girl, it's like unwrapping a strawberry bonbon. Y'all don't even know. It looks so good.
I'm so happy you asked me to be on the show today. Seriously. And I hope
too.
We can keep this going.
I hope so too. You know what? Forget it. This room is here. We're going to do it,
yes,
right?
Definitely.
Y'all don't even know. Okay. We probably have to leave you. I can't see Doug, but I can imagine what his face looks like.
Probably wondering.
I know.
They really can't talk all day.
What'd you say, Doug?
It's all good.
Okay. But we could. You guys don't even know. And we have so much more to say. We have something in the works that we are going to present to you very soon. And I want you guys to know it's from my heart. It's from my mind, too. You gotta come back.
Yes.
Stay tuned. You gotta come back. You gotta stay tuned. Because when we push, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need every one of you. This is Dawn Burks from The Hip. And I'm going to call it right now. Maybe my new co-host.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, Cassandra, I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We out.